Our scripture lesson today comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. Listen carefully, for this is God's word for us here today. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil, for this is a gift of God. I know that everything God does will forever endure. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear Him and know Him. May God add the blessing to the reading of His word and grant us understanding today in our hearing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You in this day. It's a day of celebration of those that went before us, who've won for us our freedom, both our freedom that we live in America, but also the freedom that we live in Christ. We pray that this day You'll help us to celebrate all the good that You've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our memories can be a pretty tricky thing. You may have heard a story about three women that were talking. They were talking about their memory problems that they're having. And one of the ladies, she said, "Well, sometimes I go to the refrigerator, open it up, and I forget what I'm looking for." Anybody ever done that before? Another lady says, "Well, I go upstairs, and then I forget whether I'm going upstairs or I'm supposed to be going back downstairs. I can't remember what I'm doing." Well, the third lady says, "Well, knock on wood, I don't really have any real problems with memory. Oh, well, someone go get the door." You got it. Our memories, you know, some of us have good memories, some of us have bad memories. And the thing is, as I think about Memorial Day, we've kind of moved this day to remember those who fought for our freedom. But we've moved it into remembering all those who've gone on to be with the Lord, right? People that we have lost that have been close to our hearts. But our memories can be a tricky thing, but there's some things we should never forget. We should never forget the sacrifices that other people have made on our behalf. And that's the thing. From the time that we actually come into this world, from the time we're out of the womb, there's been people that have made sacrifices for you. Amen? If you've been with the baby lately, you know that there's sacrifices you're making for that little child. This past weekend, I think it was last Sunday, wasn't it? Roman came over to our house, and he was so happy. Everything was great. He was having a good time. He was crawling. But you know what's going to end up happening? Eventually, he's going to wear himself out, right? He was taking his little car, and he's learned that he can stand up, and he would run it over to one wall, and then he would kind of grunt and scoot it and turn it, and he'd run it over to the other wall, and then all of a sudden he hit the wall. And then it was nothing but crying until you can get him to sleep. It's all that finicky stuff. But people have sacrificed for you to be here right now. Amen? People sacrificed for us to be in this room and be able to worship God the way that we want to. There's been people that have given their lives for that reason. It was in the Civil War that Memorial Day has its roots. It was actually a former Union general named John Logan who offered a first formal day of remembrance on May the 30th, 1868. And the thing about it that I liked is that he asked children to put flower petals on the graves of those who've been lost in the war. And so what they did is they went out to the cemetery, and the cemetery had both Union and Confederate soldiers in it. And they didn't really realize what they was doing, I don't guess, but he was hoping that they would just give them to the Union soldiers, but they put flower petals on everyone's grave. And when the widows and the mothers and the daughters went out, what they did is they saw it, and they were so overwhelmed with what they saw that they put to rest all the hatred in their hearts. And I think that's really the reason why we have Memorial Day today, is because those children went out and spread those flower petals on everyone's grave. And when the mothers and the widows and the daughters came out and saw it, it was something that touched their heart pretty deep. That even though the country had been devastated by war, they decided that peace was more important and they had peace in their hearts. Have you ever wondered why Memorial Day is celebrated in May? Because there's no special reason why it's there, but do you know why it is? Because in May, flowers bloom. That's why they celebrated it in May. They celebrated it because they needed flowers to put on the graves, and so they celebrated it in May. It used to be called Decoration Day. At that time, the cemeteries were filled with people that would either, you could actually plant flowers at that time. They'd plant flowers in or on the graves. They would place a garland, or they'd unfurl a flag over someone that was, or they would say a prayer. But see, there are some people who still honor their loved ones in this way, but most people nowadays aren't really bothered that much by it, if you haven't noticed. I think this day is now kind of one of those things we look at more like the opening of backyard pools than we do the loss of loved ones. Amen? Or the kicking off of the summertime, we look at it more of that kind of a trend rather than the really of the honoring of people that have gone on to be with the Lord. At the National Cemetery on Long Island, it's one of the nation's largest. It has become necessary to advertise for volunteers to come and place flags on the graves of veterans because there's not very many people who will come and volunteer their time to do so any longer. Many of the volunteers have no reason or even idea of why they're there. One of the Boy Scouts who was 13 years old was asked, "Do you know why you're here doing this?" And you know, without any skipping a step or anything, he said, "To get service hours, duh." He could have been explained to a little bit more, but we know that right now, one of the things tomorrow comes, we're going to take the day off, we're going to sleep in, we're going to maybe have a barbecue, you're going to have a good time. But in all of that pleasure, I hope that you'll take a little bit of time out to remember those who have passed away because of the freedoms that we have today. Memorial Day is known more for backyard barbecues, the opening of swimming pools, but we must also remember the debt that we owe to others for our freedom. You and I aren't here totally by our own efforts. There's no such thing, and I think that's kind of the thing that we have this American dream going on in our minds, that we're a self-made person, that we're here because we put our efforts out there to get here. But the reality is there's been people who have thought that freedom was worth dying for. The freedoms that we have right now, they thought that they're worth dying for, and they gave their lives for them, both men and women. And I think honor their sacrifices doesn't necessarily mean that we glorify war, because I'm not really a big fan of war, and I don't think anybody should be. But we live in a cruel world where tyrants impose their will on other people. And it'd be nice if we live in a place where people always played by the rules and did everything the right way, right? I think that Kendra has this saying, it says, "Do what you're supposed to do because that's what you're supposed to do." I wish that people would do that, but that's not where we're at right now. And I think that it would be nice if people didn't covet other people's property, where we didn't have to depend on military might to enforce justice, but that's just not where we are. We have to have those things in place. Such a world doesn't exist. And here's the thing I think about when I see where we are in the world today, I think that we don't know what dangers lay out there that still could come. I was reading in the newspaper about a man, I think it was in Portland, where he stabbed 3 people. Did you read about that? There was a gentleman that actually was hurling insults against people that were Muslim on the train. And I think a couple people decided to try to help this guy and calm him down, and he ended up stabbing 3 people. See, we live in a world that's full of hate, right? But hate isn't going to get you anywhere, is it? Hate doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't go anyplace. And I can see myself doing the very same thing, trying to calm somebody down. And here these guys are. I don't think they're trying to get in an altercation with him. They're trying to calm him down, and it went to somewhere else. Because we live in a world where you never know what the dangers out there exist for us on the horizon. When the war between the states flared up in the Civil War, a young Texan enlisted and marched off to war with his friends, and he said, "We're not going to be gone very long because we can lick those Yankees with broomsticks," he said. 4 years later, when the fighting was finally over, he came back to his house, and one of his neighbors said, "What happened? I thought you was going to lick them Yankees with broomsticks." He said, "We could have, but we couldn't even get them to fight with broomsticks because it was that hard of a thing in war." It'd be nice now if there isn't any current war that we could totally eliminate all the defenses that we have, that we could figure out that there's not going to be any nation that's ever going to have any aggression against us again, but that's just not the way that the world is. Winston Churchill says this. He said that he talked about a parable that happened in a zoo. He said that the zoo animals arranged peace talks with one another to work out the details of how they were going to be at peace. He said the rhinoceros asked for a strict ban against the use of teeth in war. The stag and porcupine agreed, but the lion and tiger disagreed. They said that teeth were honorable weapons. The bear, however, wanted teeth and horns to be banned as well, so he suggested all animals should be allowed to use claws, but not teeth and horns. They also continued to quarrel, and they could never agree on anything, and that's the kind of world in which we live, where military armament keeps growing and growing and growing. we believe it's necessary right now to have all these weapons so that someone else doesn't harm us and to protect us. And I think that that's all good and well done and all that stuff like that, but in the end, how is our world going to have peace when all we do is arm ourselves greater and greater and greater goods? There are others who have given their lives, not just for us in war, but there's people that have given their lives who've never wore a uniform and who've never carried a gun. In Revelation 7, 9 through 17, it says that the saints wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Among those who have given their lives in the service of others is those who've given their lives in the service of Jesus Christ. There's people that have given their lives for Him. And there have been hundreds of thousands of such sacrifices through the ages. In the 16th century, one of my favorite stories happened. Thousands of ministers and laypersons suffered for the sake of Christ. Many were hanged, slaughtered in cold blood. Some of them, the believers, endured torture or burning at the stake. Patrick Hamilton was a young Scotsman. He was 24 years old at the time, and he was sentenced to die because he was a Christian. As he was tied to the stake, there was a fire burning at his feet, and he decided that he would pull off his outer garments, and he handed them to the person standing there, and he said, "These will not profit me in the fire, but they'll do good for someone else." Hamilton was then taunted by one of his persecutors to deny God. They tried to get them in the midst of their persecution to deny God, and he said, "Wicked man, thou knowest I am not guilty, and that the truth for which I now suffer is the truth of God." And as the fire burned, the young martyr called out, how long shall darkness overwhelm this world? How long wilt thou suffer the tyranny of man?" And as he's being consumed by the flames, he said the same prayer that Stephen prayed in the Bible, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." See, today we also need to remember those who are committed followers of God who died in battle too. They died for the battle between good and evil, right? And here's the other thing about dying in battle for good and evil and all that talk about that, is that we're supposed to, as Christian men and women, be living sacrifices. And so even though we are alive, we're supposed to be in the process of dying so that good wins and evil loses. Amen? And as I look around the world in which we live right now, there's a lot of evil that looks like it's winning. Every day it looks like some evil's winning. And one of the things that I'll point to is the more and more I hear about it is the heroin epidemic that we have in our world right now is something I don't know what Christians can do to stand up and fight against it, but it's something we should decry the fact that there's that many people on drugs and that many people overdosing. And there should be more places. This is one of the things I found out, and I think Sylvia and I were working with it, but if you've actually went through a drug treatment one time for sobriety and recovery, the second time you get in, you're most likely not able to because you've already went through it one time. Did you know that? You know how many times it usually takes someone to get off the drugs like that? Way more than one time. But right now, insurances won't pay for it because you've tried it once, and so then they're left to their own devices, right? And there should be people in the world, and that I'm calling on Christians first, that say, we should give people seconds and thirds and fourth chances if that's what it takes to get them off the drugs and save their families and their lives. Amen? We should. We shouldn't forget those who've went on and died for the sake of Christ. We also need to remember Jesus Christ. The greatest sacrifice that someone's ever made was Jesus Christ on the cross for you and for me. Amen? We must remember the fact that He gave His life so that we could have life and have true freedom that can only be found in Himself. There's a story that I want to read to you. It's about a guy who basically was mortally wounded as a soldier. His name was J. Wilbur Chapman. And him and his buddy, basically Jim had a buddy who stayed with him. He's mortally wounded, and he stayed with him all the way till the very end when he passed away. Jim said to his buddy Charlie, "I'm going to die." And knowing Jim had no family of his own, Charlie added, "But I want you to go back to my mother, and I want you to take my place in my family for me." But Charlie said, "Your mother doesn't even know me, Jim. And she wouldn't allow me just to come to her home. Look at what we look like." And I don't know, the situation must have been such where they looked like they had rags on. They were basically bloodied, beaten. They looked just like they were somebody who was a derelict at your door. So he didn't want to go to her house. And so basically Charlie says, "I'm going to write a letter to her, and you're going to take it to my mom upon my death." The letter told his mother of her son's ill fortunes, of his wounds, and of his suffering, and how Jim had stuck by him day and night through it all. And the letter closed like this: "Mother, receive Jim for my sake." Jim carefully tucked the letter away in his waistcoat, and after the close of the war, He went to Charlie's hometown and sat at his mother's home. He knocked at the door and stood waiting. He had his ragged and torn clothes on. He was a very unsightly character. And as the lady opened the door, she looked upon him and thought it was just another beggar passing by. But Jim handed her the note through the half-open door. She read it, recognizing her own son's handwriting. And when she read the last line, "Mother, receive Jim for my sake," she burst open the door with tears and emotion and grabbed him up and took him in as her own son. According to the Bible, that's the sort of acceptance that we have through the cross. As we don't deserve it. We don't look like we should have it. But Jesus readily opens up and accepts us as his own children for the sake of Christ. So we look at the cross through an open door to receive Jesus, to be who we're supposed to be. And it isn't easy to be who you're supposed to be, by the way, is it? There's so many temptations. That's why I love the song that we sang as an offertory. There's so many temptations that come our way. And in the middle of all those temptations, God offers us an open door to look at the cross and say that there's something greater to hold on to than the things of this world. So this day we remember. We remember those who died that we may live in freedom. We remember those who died that we may live in faith. And we remember Christ who died that we may live forever. And that's the ultimate Memorial Day understanding. I'll close with this story. They were shooting the movie Yankee Doodle Dandy on the day after Pearl Harbor. And the cast was listening as President Roosevelt announced on the radio that the United States was at war with Japan and Germany. At that point, the director, Michael Curtis, came on the soundstage with Jimmy Cagney. They all listened in silence for the national anthem to finish up, and as the women dabbed tears from their eyes and the men were deeply moved, Curtis said in his best Hungarian accent, "Now, boys and girls, we have work to do. We've had bad news, but we have a wonderful news and story to tell to the world, so let's put away sad things and begin." And I think that's our challenge too. We got to put away the sad things in our lives, the things, the memories that we have. We got work to do, right? We have work to do in this world, and that work begins with us accepting the sacrifice that's made for our behalf and sacrificing the same way for other people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We want to thank you for the way that you've put people before us that have given their lives for our freedom, both our freedom that's found in Christ and also our freedom that we find in America. Lord, I thank you so much for your son Jesus that died on our behalf. Lord, without him, we could be nothing. So today, Lord, we stand up, we're going to sing "My Country, 'Tis of Thee," and Lord, I pray that we'll sing it as people who understand the true meaning and what memories we're here to hold. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.